Well, greetings this morning. reading on there where Mark stopped, there at verse 30, it says, or he read verse 30, "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." It says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." I was blessed by that scripture this morning. I'm not sure, Mark, I was thinking down those lines a little bit myself. It's probably because we're getting older. I was trying to share some things the Lord laid on my heart this week. I was thinking about, and thought I'd just share some things on, as we're going through this life, there's a beginning, and there's an end, and then between the beginning and the end, there's a journey. And I was going to kind of talk a little bit about our journey. So I broke it up into three different parts. And it is the beginning I want to share a little bit on. Maybe the most of my message will be on the beginning, to lay some foundation for the beginning of a walk through this life that God has called us on. And then I want to talk a little bit about the journey, just a little devotion this morning. And then at the end of our life, I don't have much to share. None of us here have experienced that yet. We're all still here, but just some promises that God has promised us. There used to be a song that we sang when we was young, and it was, I'm not sure what the title was, but one of the verses went, "How far is heaven, and when can I go?" And I was thinking that about that this weekend, and I'd like to use that for a title. How far is heaven? And the subtitle could be, where are we at on this journey? So I want to share the beginning of this journey. Many of you heard my testimony before, but I was going to share parts of my testimony when the Lord decided to reach down and pull me out of the muck, miry clay. And just some of the things that I pondered on later, what happened, because I didn't really know what was happening at that time, but God did. And I was just some of the things that happened and how marvelous His salvation is, that later I just relished that time of life when God decided to reach down and to pull a sinner out of the muck, miry clay. Before I begin, I think if you want to, can we rise, have a word of prayer? And I have a couple of minutes here. Father, we do bow before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, again. We know, Lord, that each one of us in this room were at one time, or yet maybe today, are destined for eternity somewhere. And Lord, we want to thank you for pulling us up out of that muck, miry clay, Lord, and just calling us. Your word says that no one could come to your Father unless we are drawn of you, and we thank you this morning that you've drawn us, Lord, and shown us this light. We just ask that you would just be with us this morning. We know many here are walking with you, Lord. We know we have young children here that are yet unaccountable, Father. And yet we want to have faith this morning that you're going to pull them, you're going to draw them, you're going to show them your truth, Lord, this morning. For your word says that you're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to eternal life. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Kind of feel a little bit like that little lad. This morning as I got up early, I kind of felt like that little lad that had two little fishes and a couple little loaves of bread this morning. Lest the Lord break the bread, we may go home hungry today. But just to begin, just laying some foundation on repentance and confession. Hebrews 6 says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith toward God. But the doctrines of baptisms and laying on of the hands and the resurrection of the dead of eternal judgment. And this we will do, verse 3 says, if God permit. So I just want to share a little bit. There was a time in my life, I think I was 26 years old, and the year was 2003. It was in the spring that God began to draw me. And I want to share this not for my glory, but just to pull out some principles here that I think that we cannot let go away. I think they're very important principles. We live in a world today where it just seems like evil is increasing and the wickedness is abounding, and I just thought it'd be a good just to lift this up this morning. It's what the Lord laid in my heart. And I remember as I had a young family, I had three children and my wife, and we were living there by my father-in-law's, and I remember just going to church day after day, Sunday after Sunday, and I was happy for the most part. Didn't have any need in my life. But then one Sunday I went to church, and we had a minister in from another area. He preached that morning about people living in a circle, a vicious circle, and they're never getting out of this circle. They're repeating their life over and over again. And I know Jonas preached last Sunday about we don't go around in a circle. We are going somewhere. But I believe a person that does not confess, repent, and get right with God, they continue in that circle until they die, and then they go on to eternal destination. So that's where I was at. I remember going home that day, and I told my wife, I said, that's us. That's how I feel. I feel like I'm going in a circle, and I'm not going anywhere. I was 26, and I was still drinking, and I was slowing down. I didn't have a desire like I had, but I could not break free from a lot of bondages, and yet I had a fear of God within me, I think. God began to draw me, and there I was in this vicious cycle, and I remember telling God that if this is all there is to life, I said, I don't want to live anymore, because I didn't have no fulfillment. It was empty, and so God was faithful, and that's what I want to share this morning. He is faithful. If a heart to this morning is soft and willing and wanting and seeking God, I believe He will answer any heart here this morning. And I remember He did mine. I don't know why He did, but maybe it's because of my mom's prayers, or because, you know, I had a wife and lovely children, and God needed, He's seen a need here for a man to lead. But He decided to draw me that back, and it was 2003. And as He began to draw me, I remember going through that period just a week or two, and it wasn't long God sent someone to my house to share the gospel with me. And I tell you, I don't remember much about it. My eyes were blinded, and I didn't see. I didn't know hardly anything about the gospel. But He sent someone, and the guy shared with me, and went home. And a few weeks later, He came back again. He shared the gospel with me again. And I don't remember what He shared, but I remember, I think it was that very night that He left. My wife and children went to bed, and I went into the bathroom, and I kneeled over the tub. And I began to talk to God for the first time in my life. And I started confessing my sins. This is what I want to share this morning, confession and repentance, how important it is to a clear testimony and burying those things that are behind us so we can move forward. God says, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. And I didn't realize all these things that I was doing, but God was working in my life. And I began to confess my sins that first night. I don't know, I think I might have spent an hour there. I don't remember the details, but I went to bed. Next day I went to work, and the following evening I did the same thing. I confessed sins. I was drawing out sins. I had many sins. I was waiting for God to reveal something to me, and then I would confess it to Him that it was sin, and I'm sorry. And I did it. I went to bed that night, and the third night I did it again. And I think on the fourth evening, I remember confessing my sins to God. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I quit. I quit talking. I quit crying. I was just sitting there, and I didn't realize what had happened, but I was done. I believe that the Lord, the Spirit of God, spoke to me, and He said, Dan, what stands between me and you now? What stands between us? And I didn't know the verse at the time, but I realized at that moment, it took me a minute, and I was thinking, I said, nothing. Everything that I've ever done that you brought before me, I confess to you. And there was a verse that came to me later on, Isaiah 59, verse 1, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he cannot hear. For your hands were defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness." And I realized later that night, that week, God had took time for me. He was the creator of heaven and earth. He had many things that he could have been doing that week. And here I was, this sinner man, crying out to him, and his hand was not shortened that night. His ears, he heard my cry. And he came, and I felt that night, for the first time after that moment where God spoke to me and said, "What lies between me and you? What stands between us that you cannot come to me?" And I remember that for the first time in 26 years of my life, that I realized that we had a God who loved me, who had compassion on me. And I think that was the first time that I lifted up my hands that night, both of them, and I began to cry again. This time it wasn't because of my sins or a godly sorrow. It was because of joy that I felt he set me free. And that wasn't all the story. That was the beginning. I remember I went to bed that night, and I think even in my sleep, I was worshiping God. The next morning, I woke up, and my wife really didn't know what was going on. I didn't really know what was going on. I had no idea that I had maybe just got born again, but I knew something happened. I told my wife the next morning, I said, "Something happened last night." I said, I'm different. I mean, something changed. I don't know what it was. I knew part of it was, we read that scripture that says all things become new. And I know sometimes we have different interpretations of that. But to me, it was, as I look back, everything became new. For the first time in my life, I the air just seemed fresh. That night, the stars came out, and the stars just, I mean, they were just glorifying God. And I'd never seen it in my life before. So I think everything in my heart became new. All things, the things that God loved at that moment, I loved. And I didn't know the journey that I had to go yet. But the things that God hated, I hated. And so life went on, and I was living that way for a while. And then my point is here, confession. Getting right with God. And there's a reason behind it. I was lived there for a week or two, and all of a sudden God began to nudge my heart, and he says, "You know, I know your life, because you confessed about it. I already knew before you confessed to me that what you were doing or what you'd done, but your wife doesn't know who you are." And it was, again, I was tossing, and it was like, okay, I need to confess my sins to my wife. And only by his grace and mercy was I able to do that. And I confessed my sins to my wife, and I was free again. And time went on. I believe there was a reason that God wanted me to do that. Then we started going to the New Order Church there, and I was this past week, my mind was going back. I went back just to live through that again, and it actually inspired me, and it kind of revived me again. As I think of, I'd hitch up my horse and buggy on a Saturday morning. I'm not sure if it was 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning, and we'd drive 6 miles to a prayer meeting. Some of these brothers in here that were there that morning. And we wouldn't leave there until 9:30 in the morning. We just gathered and we would pray and sing and just fellowshipping. But one morning while I was there, God spoke to me again. I think one of the brothers had a devotion on confession. And he said, "Dan, your brothers don't know who you are." And, oh, I had this heavy feeling on my heart. But I was quick to obey. And I remember just laying my head down, I confessed my sins. And I believe, I'm going to share later why I believe God, why it's important to repent, not only repent, but confess. But I confessed my sins, and I had my head down, and I didn't look up. My mind was thinking, one of these brothers is going to grab me by the collar and throw me out of this place. And they're going to tell me they don't want me here. But it wasn't like that. Anybody here that confessed all their sins to their brothers, they understand, they know the importance of it. And I had a lot of sin. I don't think I was much different than anybody else in here, but at that time I thought it was. I thought I was different. But the response was different that morning. There was hands laid on me, and they began to pray. And I felt through all of that confession, and the reason I shared that for is sometimes today the Bible talks about 2 Corinthians 7. It says, "For a godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." And if we get right with God, it's a shameful thing probably to confess our sins. I don't know. It's been a long time for me. I'm sure it was, but God gave me the grace to do it. But I believe that it closed a lot of doors, closed a lot of questions. If we're not right with God all the way, and we, you know, there could be some disclaimers in here. Not everybody's testimony is the same, but I feel that if we leave these doors open, the devil has room to begin to attack you, maybe, you know, and threaten you, and maybe hold you hostage into these thoughts to where, you know, maybe baptism is a thing. You get baptized, or you're getting baptized, and I had to think of that later on in my life. But he can come and he can say, "Hey, I'm going to tell your brothers that some things that you've done in your life." When this is all taken care of, you can say, "Go right ahead. My brothers know everything about my life. And my wife knows everything about my life. God knows everything about my life." And I think there's a clearing there. That you can move forward to the next step. The Bible says he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But there is a sorrowing of this world too, and I think it's a half-hearted confession. It's where we just can't get up and just confess our sins and say, "This is who I was. This is who God made me to be, and I'm ashamed. I'm sorry, but yet I feel the power of God working in my life. There's no hindrance anymore." And that's why I share that for. I think that. But after that came another thing, and it was not only a confession, but then there was a restitution. And that seemed like a funny thing back then. You know, I had no idea, but during all that, somewhere in all of that, God was still working in my heart. And I would go somewhere. We'd go to a local gas station over here, and I'd see someone that I'd wronged. And God laid on my heart, "Go talk to that man." And I know one man in particular. He was the local owner of the grocery store here in Harlan. And we went there all the time. And somewhere along that line, there was a lady working in there, somebody that we knew, and she would steal for us and give us stuff. And I remember doing it one time. And I, even in my sinful state, I was guilty and I felt condemned. But here was my opportunity. I remember going talking to this man. I think my brother Denny did too. And we just told him, "Hey, we stole from you. What do we need to do to make it right?" And if I'm not mistaken, he was like, "Well, praise the Lord." He didn't want no money. But things like that, restitution comes after, you know, confession. And I think that God has a line. I think that when he moves within us and we get right with him, that we need to go all the way in those things. So we have a clearing. If not, it seems like sometimes there's then there's this later on that he can come back and start harassing you, the devil, telling you, you know, "These people don't know about this." So that's the first part of what I wanted to share with there, the beginning of the journey. But the journey is another thing, and I don't have much to share on that. Time won't allow me to share everything. But my mind goes back to a couple years ago. We were in Haiti, and I shared some of this the other morning at the prayer meeting a couple weeks ago. We were in the mountains preaching for maybe 3 days, a bunch of us brothers. And after Sunday, we were done. Someone mentioned about going, climbing up the mountain, to the top of the mountain. to where there was a man from Canada who's living up there with his family. And so I'm a little older and I'm out of shape, and I start asking someone, "Well, how far is it up there?" And they pointed right up there. We could see this ridge, and I thought, "Well, that's not too far. I should be able to make that." But life's journey in the Christian walk is similar to this walk. I related a lot of things to this. As I began going up that mountain, the first half an hour went pretty good, but I had shoes on that was, my feet was kind of slipping in my shoes. It was all full of stones. The trail was going like this up the mountain, and we got halfway to where I thought was the destination. I was pretty tired, and I sat down. And then there was another, Marlon Schwartz was with me, and he kind of stayed with me. We was talking. The rest of them, the younger people, kept moving forward. They had the guides with them, and they were going up the mountain, and Brother Nate was with them. He's in pretty good shape for an older man. And he was with them. He didn't stay behind with us. But we get halfway up this mountain. We were resting. I was struggling to get to the top of this mountain. I'm thinking, at the top of this mountain, we're at our destination. We'll be home. We wouldn't have to go no more. But that's not how it is when you're in Haiti. I'm not sure it's the same for any mountain, but behind that mountain, we could only see the top of that mountain. Behind that mountain, it went down again, and there was another mountain. And I got to there, and we rested. And just to say that, I think this Christian walk is like that. God doesn't reveal everything to us the day that we're born again. There's this beginning. He wants us to have the right beginning. And then we go on this journey, as Mark was sharing this morning about faith. It is a journey of faith. Many things in my life that I encountered after I got out of the beginning stage and began to walk, that I didn't know was going to come upon me. But each one, I met God, and He was there. And by faith, we journeyed from glory to glory. We got up to the mountain, Marlon and I, to that first ridge, and the other group was probably about a quarter mile ahead of us. We could still see them, so we were going the right direction, following them. And part way up to the top of the other mountain, we were resting all the way. We started getting further and further behind, and we were gone though. I wanted to reach the top, so I'm a kind of a fighter. I was not gonna go back down until I got up to the top. And I think there's a scripture verse in Philippians 3 here. I'm just going to read this passage just to throw it in here right now, that Philippians 3 verse 12 through 16. Paul says, "Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I might, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." And I had to think of this passage this morning as I was just meditating a little bit. As we were going up this mountain, sometimes we read Paul's words here, and they're hard to understand. But Paul said there in verse 12, "Not as though I had already attained." And that word "attained" means I have not yet arrived. And I know there was a time in my life that I thought that maybe Paul had not attained, and we interpreted that scripture to mean that God, that Paul was maybe walking and wallowing around in sin, but he wasn't. As we were walking up that mountain, we got to a certain elevation, and we had attained to that point, but yet there was more beyond that we had to go. And I think that's what Paul was seeing here, realizing that God had more things for him in his life and more spiritual growth that he needed. And as we walk in this journey of life, we need to face those things as we come. So as we got to the top of this mountain, we kind of flattened out a little bit, and the people, the rest of the group with all the guides, were way ahead of us. And we walked into some fog, heavy mist. We couldn't see more than 20 feet ahead of us. So we were okay as long as we were on the trail. And we were walking, and all of a sudden we get to a fork in the road, and we looked at each other and we don't know where we're going to go. So we started calling out, hey, kind of real loud and echoed across the mountains, where are you guys at? And we'd hear a voice over here, so we would go that direction. And if you can make some spiritual application there, you know, I think that we need our brothers. We need the church family to guide us at times, and people lag behind, and people have not, they're, you know, not everybody's at the same place. And that was going pretty good until we kept going, and the group ahead of us got out of ear reach, and they couldn't hear us anymore. We was hollering out, and no response. So there we were in the midst, in this heavy mist, walking. We were wet. It was so wet up there, and we were full of joy. We I don't know if we even cared if we'd got to the top anymore after that. But we were just moving along this trail, and all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, there's this little shack beside the trail. And there was this Haitian lady who was there, and she was attending to her little household. And so we got up to there, and we asked her. I only know maybe 5 words in Creole, but I knew one word that she might know. And I said, Blanc. Where's the white guy? I was meeting up in the mountain, and she took us. She understood. She got out and led us to the last break or fork we had to make, and we headed toward the mountain. We got there. But that journey of life, most of us are on right now. And it is a journey of faith, I believe, that we need to walk, trust in the Lord, that He is going to take us there. I see time is gone. I'm going to close up here. The Bible says, in this journey, many are called and few are chosen. There's a point I want to bring out. I believe that God calls many. I believe that many experience salvation. And they begin on this journey and it becomes too hard. They meet difficulties. And they turn and they go back. So how far is this mountain in life that we're traveling on? I trust that each one is going that way. By faith, we need to travel. And God will meet us at every incident that we reach where we think we cannot overcome or we cannot bear and get by this. God will meet us there. But we have to be faithful in the small things today that we're, as we face, as we're walking along. And I know we're living in a world that seems like it's spinning out of control. And a few years ago, 2 years ago, I kind of got caught up into some of that, of what's happening in the world. And fear kind of overtook me. And I realized that we're not going to change anything that God has established. He's going to bring this world to an end. We just need to believe and trust in Him. The word attain, Paul says, I have not yet attained. That means I have not arrived. Then he says, the word attained is to get a hold of, to get a perception of. And I think Paul was grasping with the thought that he knew how big God was, and he knew all that God had for him to do. But Paul was willing to move forward and to gain higher ground. As we walked that mountain, that's what we were doing. We were gaining higher ground. In the verse 12 there it says, or 16, nevertheless, whereunto we have attained, let us walk by the same rule. And I think if you interpret that, it means only let us hold true to what we have already attained. And we think about sin at times. What is sin after we're walking this Christian life? And I think if God has moved us up here, He doesn't want us to turn around, to wallow back into where we came from. Scripture verse in James, it says, he that knows to do good doeth it not as sin. So Paul is saying, I have not yet attained, but I'm not looking back. I'm not going back. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That mark, what is that mark? Is it the final destination? I heard a preacher one time share a message. He said that often we think of the word, that the mark. If we think of iniquity or sin, it can interpret back to missing the mark. He says sometimes we do ourselves harm when we take that perception of missing the mark as if we're out hunting a deer. When I say missing the mark, there was children out here throwing balls yesterday, and they were aiming at a mark in the dodgeball, and if they missed the mark, it was no big deal. But in this, Paul says he's aiming toward that mark. If we're in iniquity and sin, then we're going to miss the mark. And that mark, I believe, is the holiness of God, the calling of God to purge ourselves from the things of this life and to follow after Him. So yeah, we can't just take it as a light thing that, oh, I missed the mark. And then at the end of this life, I have a few scripture verses I want to read. Some promises of God. Many of us are not there. We're walking through this life. And I was thinking about the redeeming the time. The young people that are redeeming the time program, I think it's going to come to an end this week, if I understood right. It's a blessing. It was some of these young men were enduring a little bit of hardness, waking up at 4:30 in the morning. But I had to think back. When I got converted back in 2003, I think back of many trips, 4 o'clock in the morning, and that's what revived me this morning. As I got up and I walked out through the grass, the grass was heavy with mist. My socks got wet through my shoes, and it brought back some memories. I remember when I was young Christian, enduring hardness. I would get up seeking God, and I would take off to my the east of me. There was a runway. And I would go out there, and I'd walk that runway early in the morning, seeking God. And I feel in my life that I need to get back to that point. The young men, redeeming the time, and they're in this program, and they're enduring hardness. But if you think about me next week, pray for me. I think I need to endure some hardness. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. Psalms 116 says, this is at the end of our life. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. We know what Job said there in Job 120. It says that Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. He worshipped God. He said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord giveth, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure, salvation, and the Spirit within us in these earthen vessels. And there's a reason why. The verse finishes out, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. He wants the glory. 2 Corinthians 4:14 says, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I don't have much more than that. I just wanted to encourage each one as we go through this journey. We get the right foundation. And let's not be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord. Let's not be ashamed of our past life. If we've confessed, I would like to say it like this, the coffin lid is nailed shut. And let's not allow these openings in our life where the devil can come maybe and begin to disturb us. But He called us out of darkness in that marvelous light. We should glorify Him. We need to praise Him. But I don't have much more than that. I see time is gone. Lord bless you all.